Children, did you hear where Joseph took the young child and his mother to flee from Herod? What country did they go to? To Egypt, that's right. And you might remember some other stories in the Word where people went down to Egypt. Like there's the story of Abram and Sarai. There's the story of Joseph. And there's the story of the children of Israel who lived for a long time in the land of Egypt. But did they stay there forever? No, the Lord led Abram and Sarai and the children of Israel out of Egypt. And even Joseph made sure that when he died, they would bring his bones up out of Egypt. So really, all of the stories in the Word are stories about Jesus. And they're just like how Jesus, when he was a boy, was going to go down into Egypt and then come back out of Egypt again. Now, Egypt in the Word represents learning. The Egyptians had the biggest, best library in the whole world in ancient times. The Egyptians loved to study and learn about the representation of heavenly things in earthly things. And that's why they wrote their hieroglyphics, all those little pictures of earthly things to remind them of heavenly things. They loved studying and learning about this. And in a similar way, all of us, when we're born, we need to learn so many things. Our minds just are hungry and hungry and hungry to learn more and more things as we grow up. We all need to go down to Egypt spiritually. And Jesus did too, because he was born. He put on the human just like everyone else, so he needed to learn things. So that's what's represented in the spiritual sense by Jesus going down to Egypt as a little boy. But did he stay there? No, he didn't stay there. From the very beginning, the angel said to Joseph, "You should stay there until I call you. I'm going to call you out of Egypt." And then when the time was right, he did call him out of Egypt. Similarly, we're not meant to spend our whole life going to school, are we? We're meant to come out of school someday and have a useful life actually helping other people. Now, in this chapter, there's three stories. The first story is the story of the wise men worshiping the Lord, and then of Jesus going down into Egypt, and then of Jesus coming out of Egypt. The wise men, the first story, the wise men were the last remains of a true church on earth. They were people who knew about the coming of the Lord, and they believed in the coming of the Lord. Herod didn't know. The scribes and Pharisees had no idea that the Lord was actually born. But the wise men did. They didn't know exactly where he was born, but they knew he was born and they came to worship him. So they represent the remains that the Lord also gives to us. From the time we're born, the Lord gives us wonderful, beautiful states of remains. And the Arcana says, "But what are remains? They are the goods and truths that a man has learned from the Lord's word from infancy and has thus impressed on his memory. But not only that, they are also all the states derived from those goods and truths learned from the word, such as states of innocence from infancy, states of love toward parents, brothers, teachers, friends, states of charity toward the neighbor, and also of pity for the poor and needy. In a word, all states of good and truth. These states, together with the goods and truths impressed on the memory, are called remains. They are preserved in man by the Lord and are stored up entirely without his knowledge in his internal man, and are completely separated from the things that are proper to man, that is, from evils and falsities." And the heavenly doctrine compares remains to a star, just like the star that led the wise men to the Lord. We read, "Remains are like some heavenly star. The smaller it is, the less light it gives, and the larger it is, the more light it gives." So the wise men and their beautiful gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and the star represent the remains that the Lord gives every single one of us from the time we're first born. And they, those remains, make it possible for us to learn things. Otherwise, we couldn't ever even learn anything. So the first story is a happy story about the wise men worshiping the Lord. The second story is sad. That's a story about Jesus needing to flee from Herod. And that's because, although we have these beautiful states of remains with us from the Lord, we also have other things about us from our heredity that are harmful and hurtful and sad. And so, the Lord, these bad states are represented by Herod, who wanted to kill the Lord. Now, while we're little, the evil spirits can't hurt us. They can't hurt us when we're little. And that's like Herod pretending that he wanted to come worship the Lord. And meanwhile, Jesus escapes from Herod and gets away. But when we're older and we become more aware of ourselves, then evil spirits begin to bother us. And that's like Herod trying to kill the Lord. And he killed the baby boys of Bethlehem. And that shows us just what the evil spirits want to do to us. They want to kill us. But the Lord is going to keep us safe. And it's interesting that the other stories about people going to Egypt also involve someone wanting to kill them. Remember Abram? He thought that Pharaoh was going to kill him in order to take away his beautiful wife Sarai. And Joseph's brothers, they were planning to kill him until they thought, oh, well, maybe instead we'll sell him as a slave into Egypt. And the children of Israel, when they were living in Egypt, the wicked Pharaoh said that the midwives should throw all the baby boys in the river. But the midwives did not do that, and the Lord protected the baby boys. And similarly, the Lord protected Jesus when he was a baby boy too. Now, what is this about in our spiritual life? In our spiritual life, we learn lots and lots of things without knowing what they're for. And there's a danger of our beginning to think that just knowing a whole lot of stuff is the important part instead of using it to help other people. And killing the baby boys of Bethlehem, we read in our lesson from the Heavenly Doctrine, represents killing spiritual truths. Spiritual truths are truths we love because the Lord has taught them to us, and there's innocence in obeying them. They're truths we love because they teach us how to be good people. And there's a danger that that love and those truths are going to die in us. And these days and our times when we are, our world is more full of information, more things to learn than ever before, from all the scientific development that the Lord has provided for, there's even more of a danger of this than in the time of the Lord. But the Lord is going to protect us if we're willing to be safe. The Lord protected Jesus from Herod while he was growing up, and he protected Abraham, and he protected Joseph, and he protected the children of Israel, and he protected Jesus himself too. And while we grow up, when we have reached adulthood, then the Lord calls us out of Egypt. Sort of like we graduate from school and we get to go into doing a good job. Now, but it says in the story that when they were coming back to the land of Israel, they could not go to Bethlehem and to Judea, Bethlehem where the Lord was born. Judea represents real love to the Lord and real love of usefulness, unselfish love of usefulness. But they couldn't go there because Herod's son, Archelaus, was ruling there. It was dangerous. And that's like us. When we first become adults, there's too much selfishness for us to go straight into a pure love of use. And so the Lord provides a safe place for us to live and work. And he told Joseph to take Jesus to Nazareth of Galilee, in the lowlands, not up in the mountains. And that represents everyday, ordinary life. And there, that's where Jesus grew up. He lived there almost all his life. And similarly for us, we live in a state like that almost all of our life. And what does that state mean? It means taking the truths we've learned and applying them to everyday life, day in and day out, not from a pure love of to the Lord and love of our neighbor, but from obedience. The Lord says so, so I'll do it. and also from mixed motives of, well, people will like me and I'll get money. Those kind of motives go into our usefulness. And that's okay, because through those motives, the Lord leads us more and more into higher loves. And in the meantime, we are learning to take the truths the Lord has given us, the things we've learned, and apply them to life. That's what Galilee represents, applying the truth to life. And so the chapter ends by saying of Jesus, he shall be called a Nazarene, meaning someone who applies the truths to actual life. And that's where the Lord is leading us. And in that way, he's leading us to heaven. So in this story, the first story is the Lord gives us remains, represented by the wise men. And next, the Lord leads us to learn lots of things, represented by going down to Egypt. And then the Lord calls us out of Egypt to apply our truths to life. And that's like going to Nazareth in Galilee. And just as the Lord himself glorified his human, he put on an ordinary human nature and made it divine, so the Lord is going to help us too, take our selfish, ordinary human nature and turn it into something spiritual and angelic by following his example of learning truths from the Word and applying them to life. And then we too, like Jesus, can be called a Nazarene. Amen.